Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a shape jungle effects chain for floor shaking low end in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the way advanced DNB producers actually think, not as decoration, but as part of the impact architecture of the drop. Because in jungle and drum and bass, the effects chain is not just some shiny extra layer, it's part of the pressure system. It helps the sub hit harder, feel wider, and translate better on club systems, without destroying mono compatibility or smearing the first kick and snare. So the goal here is simple. We want impactful risers, impacts, and transitions. We want movement around the drop that still keeps the low end clean. We want that floor shaking emphasis, but we also want the bass line and drums to reclaim the space when the drop lands. That balance is everything. First thing to understand, the source matters. Your FX chain is only as strong as what you feed into it. For jungle and DNB, that source might be a resampled break slice, a restab, a noise hit, a sub drop, a vocal chop, a metallic one shot, or even a rewind or take stop texture. For this kind of lesson, anything with some mid-range content is ideal, like a snare roll, a crash, a chopped break fill, or a resampled bass stab. And here's a practical tip straight away: if the source is already sub-heavy, you need to control the low end early, before you start making it wider, dirtier, or more animated. That's a classic beginner mistake. People try to make the effects bigger, but they accidentally start fighting the kick and sub. In DNB, cleanup is power, so let's build the chain. Start with EQ8. Put this first so you can clean the source, before any saturation or modulation starts to exaggerate problems. High pass the signal, usually somewhere around 120 Hz as a starting point. If you need more cleanup, push the slope harder. Then listen for boxiness around 250 to 400 Hz and cut a little if needed. If the source needs more snap, a small boost in the 2 to 5 kHz area can help. And if you want a bit of air, a gentle high shelf above 8 kHz can open things up. The reason this matters is because we want the FX to live above the sub region. The actual bass line should own that space. That's how you get a low-end aware chain instead of a low-end mess. Next, add saturator. This is where you give the FX harmonic density, so it reads on smaller systems and feels heavier on big ones. Try analog clip or soft sine mode, add around 2 to 6 dB of drive, keep soft clip on, and trim the output so you're matching level rather than just making it louder. That last part is important. Don't confuse louder with better. Match the level and listen for actual improvement. A little saturation can make a snare fill feel more aggressive, a riser feel more urgent, or a bass stab feel like it's leaning toward the drop with attitude. After that, bring an auto filter. This is where the movement starts to feel really jungle. Use a low pass or band pass filter depending on the source, and bring in some resonance, maybe 10 to 35%, but don't let it get too whistly unless that's the effect you want. Then automate the cutoff. That's where the real tension lives. A really practical move is to automate the cutoff from around 300 Hz up to 18 kHz over 1 to 4 bars. You can even add a small resonance bump near the end of the rise. Then, right before the drop, open the filter and cut it suddenly on the downbeat. That squeeze and release feeling is classic drum and bass tension design, and it works because the ear hears contrast more strongly than constant movement. Now we add width and motion, but with discipline. Use chorus ensemble or face or flanger, depending on the character you want. Chorus ensemble is great for thickening atmospheric FX and pads. Face or flanger is better for metallic, aggressive jungle movement. Either way, don't overcook the low end. If you're using width here, make sure you already high pass the source so the sub-region stays stable. For chorus ensemble, keep the amount moderate, maybe 10 to 25%, with a slower rate and wide spread. For face or flanger, go with a slower to medium rate, feedback around 10 to 25%, and a dry slash wet mix low enough that it adds movement without swallowing the source. The key idea is this: low frequencies should remain mono and solid. Let the stereo motion live in the mids and highs. Now we stabilize the whole thing with glue compressor. This is where the chain starts to feel like one cohesive impact instead of a bunch of separate effects stacked on top of each other. Use a medium attack, a release set to auto or something short and musical, and a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. You're probably looking for around 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction as a starting point. If you want the FX to hit harder, use soft clip. Glue compressor is fantastic for that squash and snap energy before a drop. It can make the FX feel punchy without making it feel disconnected from the groove. Then finish with utility. This is your final control point for width and gain. If the chain is getting too wide or too messy, pull the width back. If the level is too hot, trim it. If you need the return to stay tight and focused, utility is where you keep that under control. Remember, if the stereo field sounds huge but the low end collapses in mono, the club system is going to expose that immediately. Now, if you want to go a level deeper, split the chain into parallel layers. This is where things get really powerful. One chain can be your punch chain, Hood EQ8, saturator, and drum bus there. Use drum bus for extra transient character, a bit of drive, and some controlled bite. Keep the boom subtle or off if it interferes with the sub. Push the transients a little if you want the FX to feel more percussive and forward. Then create a second chain for atmosphere. Put EQ8, auto filter, and either echo or hybrid reverb on that chain. With echo, keep the timing sync to the groove, maybe 1/8, dotted 1/8, or 1/16 depending on the rhythm. Filter the repeats aggressively so the delay doesn't clutter the low end. With hybrid reverb, stay in short to medium decay territory, keep the size controlled, and cut the low end hard enough that the reverb stays out of the sub zone. The beauty of the parallel approach is that the punch stays up front, while the atmosphere trails behind it. That's much more musical than trying to make one chain do everything at once. And that brings us to one of the most important ideas in this whole lesson. Shape the low end with intent. Your FX should support the sub, not compete with it. If your FX is on the same track as the bass, you need to be extremely careful. Split the signal with EQ8, keep everything below 80 to 120 Hz very controlled, and make sure you're not widening the sub region. Better yet, keep your bassline and your FX on separate tracks. Send the FX to a return if you want shared space, and automate a low pass filter so the build feels like it's opening into the drop. A very effective trick is this. Before the drop, low pass the FX down to somewhere around 500 to 1000 Hz. Then, on the drop, cut the FX abruptly and let the sub and kick hit cleanly. Bring the FX tail back only after the first impact. That contrast makes the drop feel enormous. If everything is busy all the time, nothing feels big anymore. This is where arrangement thinking matters. In jungle and DNB, FX automation should feel rhythmic, not random. Automate auto filter cutoff, resonance, saturator drive, echo feedback, reverb dry/wet, utility width, and send levels in ways that lock to the groove. Think in bars and phrase lengths. Think about one bar risers before a snare fill, two bar sweeps into the drop, half bar stop moments for rewind energy, 1/16 glitch bursts before a bass change, or filtered washes after the first few bars of the drop. A big advance tip here: let the FX breathe with the drums. Reduce density right on the strongest kick and snare moments. Open the FX during the gaps between breaks. Let the tail answer the fill. That call and response relationship is one of the reasons jungle feels alive. It's not just sound design. It's conversation. Another advanced move is resampling. A lot of great DNB producers resample FX chains because it gives them way more control. Route the FX chain to a new audio track, record the output, then chop it into hits, tails, and reverses. After that, you can reprocess with warp, reverse, simpler, beat repeat, or redux for grit. This is how you turn a generic transition into custom material that actually sounds like it belongs to your track. It's not just an effect anymore. It becomes part of your tune's identity. And when you place these effects in the arrangement, think like a DJ and an engineer. Put them before a drum break returns, at the end of an 8-bar phrase, right before the bass changes pattern, between vocal chops and break fills, or on the last half bar before the drop. You're not just decorating the track, you're marking structural points. You're telling the listener, now we're leaving this section, now the pressure rises, now the sub is about to return, now the drop command is coming. Let's talk about some common mistakes, because this is where a lot of otherwise good FX chains fall apart. 1. Too much low end in the FX chain. If the FX is carrying heavy energy below 100 Hz, it's going to fight the sub and the kick. High pass earlier than you think. 2. Widening the low end. This makes the mix unstable and weak on club systems. Keep sub frequencies mono. 3. Overusing reverb. Huge reverb can blur the break and flatten the punch. Short, filtered reverbs are usually much more useful. 4. Too much distortion without level control. Distortion can absolutely add power, but it can also turn the whole chain harsh and mask the groove. Gain stage every step. 5. Effects that ignore the rhythm. Random sweeps and noise can sound amateur if they don't lock to the phrasing. Sync the movement to bars, fills, and drum accents. 6. Leaving the FX on during the drop. If the FX keeps crowding the first kick and sub hit, the drop loses impact. Sometimes the smartest move is to mute the FX, cut it hard, or reduce it massively at the drop point, then bring it back after the first phrase. Now for a few pro tips if you want that darker, heavier DNB pressure. Use Roar or Saturator for controlled aggression. Roar is great when you want more destructive harmonic energy. Saturator is cleaner and easier to control. Put them on a parallel chain and blend in just enough anger to give the transition some teeth. Process breaks and FX together, but protect the sub. That old-school jungle balance, a carved break, resampled movement, and separate, solid low end is still one of the strongest recipes around. Use frequency selective automation too. Maybe you low-pass the whole FX during the build, then boost the 2-5 kHz area for snare tension, tuck 200-400 Hz if the mix gets muddy, and brighten the tail after the drop lands. That gives you perceived movement without just turning everything up.